Welcome to Woman to Woman, a listener-supported program of Sharon Hart's ministry, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
1 Corinthians 13:13 says, "And now abide faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love." 1 Corinthians 13 is known as the love chapter, and in it, love is not only defined, but we are also given a description of what love looks like in action. Today, we are highlighting the actions of love that can be seen in our attitude. So join in the conversation as we examine our attitudes and actions.
So we're talking about what agape love does, what love looks like. We covered patience and kindness last week on 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7 in love, what it looks like when we are choosing to walk in it and express it.
Yes. In other words, when it's an attitude and an action. And we said last week, an attitude will have a forthgoing action, and action will have the right attitude. So you can't really separate them. There are some here that if we had more time, we could say these are the attitude attributes, and these are the action attributes. But as you go through, you'll find that you can pretty well figure out by the use and the misuse which ones are an attitude and which ones result in an action.
Okay. All right, so our next one that we're looking at comes from verse 5, right? No, we're still in 4.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Envy's not.
And envy, in my translation, New King James, it says not jealous. And there is a slight difference between envy and jealousy, but they are definitely kissing cousins. One of them is, I'm jealous of what you have, and I want it. And the envy is, I want what you have, and I don't want you to have it.
Oh.
So there's a slight variation there, but they both are pretty stinky as far as the personality is concerned. And, you know, when you're not jealous and you're operating in mature agape love, you're glad when somebody else prospers. You're not jealous, oh, wow, they got the promotion or they won the prize and I didn't, and I thought I did just as good a job. And so that can come into many different things. And it can come into also what someone else owns and has. And that is can be a spouse. There can be a jealous husband or a jealous wife. So that definitely transfers into relationships as well as into possessions. And then the person who's not jealous is going to be very generous because they aren't trying to hold on or grab something. So now, can you give us some, if there are lack of love, where you would go with descriptions?
Discontent.
Mm-hmm.
They're not satisfied with what they have.
Mm-hmm.
They're always looking at what someone else has.
Yes.
So.
And they're grasping. I think you said something last week about grasping, and I thought that was a really good word
Yeah, grasping for, and really for the air, because it's not theirs to have.
Yes. And that can go into even personality traits. I wish I was like so-and-so. I wish I had her temperament or her personality.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very wide encompassing thing. But jealousy destroys the heart. It just keeps you at discontent. And you're always, when you lack agape love, you're always looking for the advantages for yourself.
Yeah, okay.
So do you have a scripture references that where we could give an illustration?
Well, how about James and John when they were requesting greatness for themselves in Mark 10, 35 through 45?
Yeah, now here they had been with the Lord all this time, should have been seeing the agape love and attitude and action. And yet, what were some of the negatives that they were really expressing when they were saying, hey, I want to sit at your right hand and sit at your left hand?
I would think possessiveness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're trying to get in the best position.
There you go. Yeah.
Coveting a great place that they think is prestigious.
And then if they didn't get it, we think there might have been a little murmuring, grumbling, complaining, you know.
And probably wanted to put themselves above the rest of the disciples. So there was a place of superiority.
Okay, so if we need to go in and maybe identify with this trait a little bit more, then they can go to Mark 10, 35 through 45. And you'd be surprised what you can just pick up when you just read a passage and you're looking for a particular thing. Mm-hmm. All right, so the next one then would be?
Doesn't brag.
Okay, the braggadocious one.
Braggadocious. Well, bragging, I tell you, you know, Proverbs talks about not talking about yourself or
let another man praise you, not yourself.
Yeah.
So if I was looking for somebody and I was listening to their words and looking at them, what kind of character could somebody say, "Yeah, I have those qualities."
Talking big.
If you're lacking in love, you'd be talking big. Okay. I was going to ask you what the positive qualities of material
love. Well, you haven't asked me positive qualities. So,
well,
I thought I was the negative side.
No, honey, we both share in that. You do not have an exclusive. I'm sorry.
Showing off and parading oneself, seeking applause, telling people what they did, looking for praise.
Yeah, and the big fish that always got away, but you got the bigger fish than anybody else. Having to call attention to yourself. So the person that really is not in that kind of bondage is going to be careful with their speech. And you would probably have that person using modest speech. There wouldn't be six sentences and they all began with either me, myself, or I.
Right.
Okay. Right. And then they would not be a forward person, always needing to bring the conversation back around to them. Now, sometimes we've probably been accused of that ourselves here, but it's not that we are braggadocious. It's just that we're willing to be vulnerable to confess our faults one to another. And with these mics, a few other people listen in on them.
Yeah.
But we do need to confess our faults because Galatians 6:1 says that we are to bear one another's faults. And you have to know them to be able to assist in bearing them. So the person that doesn't brag will be willing to share about where they have failed.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's a big difference. Mm-hmm. You know, sharing where you failed and always bragging about what you're doing and where you've been and where you're going is a little bit different than, you know, not necessarily always bringing the conversation back around to you, but back around to being able to identify with somebody.
Yes, yes.
There is probably a fine line with that, especially when somebody's trying to bear their heart to you and you take it back to you and where you failed and getting it off topic of them.
Yes, good point.
It's probably a little bit of a fine line that we need to monitor and make sure that we're not doing that too often.
Explore. I actually took the synonym book or the book of synonyms and went in and looked at synonyms and antonyms to see how many things that I could see that related to one another just on how the world perceived it, and then took those words and went back in and looked in the scripture. And so even though you wouldn't call that maybe a Bible lesson, I learned by just going back to Webster's. And if anybody really wants to learn, bless yourself with a copy of Webster's 1828 edition. That's how Webster wrote the dictionary back then. And then you look at how it's written now and you wouldn't know it was the same book.
Yeah.
Because
big difference.
Big difference on how traits and information was conveyed with a spiritual mind and many times using scripture. But at any rate, to move on,
29.
It's always good to fortify with scripture. Isn't that what we say?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, there's just a couple of verses. And Sharon, I think at this point, there is so much good information that can lead to truth and enlightenment that we probably need to post this as a handout when we're through with the lesson and just put it on, because if anybody really wants to study, They're not going to be able to get everything probably written down in the short time that we have. But we do have the exhortation in Ephesians 4:29 that our speech should always edify others. Do we always stop and think about how the speech should always build someone else up, or do we want equal time? And then the example that I find so tragic is in Acts 5:1 through 7, when Ananias and Sapphira, a married couple, lied to the church about the gifts that they had given. Now, they didn't have to lie. They said, well, we sold some land and we're giving 50% to the church.
Right.
But instead, they indicated that they had given the whole thing to the church. And so that was a form of bragging. But it was not in truth. And because of that one wrong choice, they both were killed.
Cost them their life.
Cost them their life. And it brought great fear in the church to see the immediate repercussions, even under grace.
Yeah.
So we need to see that one wrong choice in lying does not always bring death. I don't want to put that false, or we would all probably be dead. But we need to see how God views sin and see that we don't stretch the truth.
Right.
Which is what happened in this case. So,
well, I have a question about this one and the one we're getting ready to do, which is they are not arrogant. So what's the difference between a bragger and someone who is arrogant?
Well, I believe someone who is arrogant will be a bragger. This is an attitude quality, lowly in mind.
Okay.
Modest, quiet. That would be a non-arrogant person. So one who is arrogant is going to probably be loud, boisterous, conceited. You're going to have puff with pride. They're going to be haughty in spirit. And I do need to make a clarification here. Last week I talked about the person that would be hearing something and, you know, then they would roll their eyes.
The body language.
The body language. Uh-huh. We need to also take the exhortation to just not say they're not practicing maturity in love, but maybe we should work more towards practicing maturity in love so that our words would not cause that kind of haughty response.
Oh, kind of like you talked about with Bob and...
Yeah.
And
yeah, he teaches me a lot. So we need to recognize if I'm really going to practice agape love, then I should be careful enough that even for a person that may be immature in it, that they're not necessarily going to think that, oh, well, here we go again, okay, or the haughty look. So that responsibility really goes both ways. Okay. Does that help answer?
Yes.
Okay.
Because being arrogant is an attitude, and bragging is what they do with the attitude.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And then we can be very dictatorial. We can have an attitude of superiority and then self-exalting and domineering and overbearing. Mm-hmm. This is one of the more nastiest problems that we can find both amongst men and women. And nowadays, with the culture, I'm finding that kids have certainly picked this up and polished it and perfected it at a very young age. So Colossians 4:6 really is our remedy, Sharon, and it just says that our speech needs to always be seasoned with grace. Mm-hmm. And that's a short sentence, but a mighty powerful input when we stop and talk about grace. And then I love Ecclesiastes. It just about covers everything under the sun. And if you're not going to be arrogant, then you'll recognize when it's a time to speak and when it's a time to keep silent. Even if you know the answer, even if you know the proper thing in timing, sometimes it's just not the time to blurt it out.
Right. Like we talked about last week with our patients. We need time. It's timing there as well.
Absolutely.
To wait for the right time.
Well, and then we go to one that hopefully you'll have some insights here, and that is it does not act unbecomingly. Now, that's a little bit more of a broad term. So how would you see true love, true agape love, showing itself if it's going to act becomingly, because this is a...
considerate.
Okay, good.
Respectful.
Okay.
Sensitive to others' feelings.
Yes, yes. And using a little bit of tact. Sometimes we're not looking really at our circumstances or who, to whom we are speaking, and we just don't use tact. We just blurt it out and think, oh, that was really not the best way to say it.
Yeah. And I think that is so important, because a lot of times it's not what we say, it's how we say.
Yes, ma'am.
That causes so many problems. I had that problem in my marriage for quite some time when I first got married. Terry would always say, Sharon, it's not what you said, it's how you said it. I'm like, well, how am I saying it?
Well, but voice tone probably entered in.
Yeah,
entered
exactly
into that.
That's what he was saying. And it took me a while to figure that one out.
Well, then I don't know if you were ever thoughtless, since you say you know you battled that, embarrassing to others.
Oh, I'm sure.
Maybe a little rude.
Now, coarse.
Of course, I don't know that you would have been coarse, but I mean, this would certainly be something that a man who maybe had a rougher verbiage might fall into. Shameless. And sometimes that's saying things that, and I have failed here, Sharon. I want to get somebody's attention. In other words, wake up, dingbat.
Oh.
Okay. Get it.
Uh-huh.
All right. And so I will use shameless words that are of really no meaning. And God says you're going to give an account for every idle word. So keep your words simple and keep them accurate and keep them few. And then I think this can still have some dishonorability to it, which we say the things in maybe half-truths or the way we want people to hear them. So we arrange our words to maybe mean something, but we'll say them a little bit differently.
Oh, to make an impact.
Yeah, thank you.
We want to make an impact.
Impact.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And and we become indecent.
Yes. Yes.
With our language.
Yes, we really, yes. And I've done that before, to where I wanted to make an impact. So I would use a word that I wouldn't normally use in normal conversation, mm-hmm. but I'll kind of bring it in. And it's a word that would not, I won't use any here for sure. But when I got through thinking, you were trying to get somebody's attention. And you know where this really happens is in the comic world, with the stand-up comic.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
A lot of times they will be wanting to make a funny.
Make a funny.
And to get the people's attention and to get a response, they'll use an indecent phrase, terminology, mm-hmm. or word that gets laughter, but really it's part of not knowing how to love.
Yeah. So. And you know, the class clown. I mean, you could be the class clown in any circle that you're in, you know, just trying to make a funny or make somebody laugh and sometimes hurt others in the process.
And we need to know that all class clowns are truthfully people hurting inside, and this is the way they're covering their hurt.
Absolutely. Yes. Okay.
Well, and our scripture reference that I think we can hang to it today is pretty solid. It would just be going to Philippians 2:5-8, where we can be on solid ground when we know the mind of Christ. And Philippians 2:8, we won't have time to read it, but we can certainly look it up, and that is that we're to have this mind of Christ. And it basically says that he didn't consider himself to be equal, but he came, gave up his reputation, took on the form of a human man, and he came to serve. And so with that kind of attitude, then our actions will be of loving, sacrifice, giving to others, everything we've talked about. But if we're talking about it on a verbiage level, I just love the verse of 25:11 from Proverbs, where it says, words fitly spoken, or words timely spoken, or words appropriately spoken, are like apples of gold in pitchers of silver. Mm. Quality.
Quality.
Depth.
Yeah.
Lasting. Value. Yes. Yes. So now here comes a toughy one. So you want to handle this one?
Does not seek its own. So they're self-assertive, demanding, rebellious, looking out for number one, must have my own rights, and self-seeking.
Yuck.
Oh.
that's somebody I want to run right over and make friends with. And yet that's where most of us are because of that salvation. We have been taught nothing higher. We have our soul and our spirit, and that's as high as we can go. And self-seeking is the normal way of living. So when we do find out that agape love is necessary, then we need to be yielding. We need to be submissive. And ladies, that does not mean that you're to be a doormat to your husband, because Ephesians 5 says that we are to esteem and submit one to another.
Right.
And then it breaks down how we do it. The woman does it one way, the man does it one way. But a submissive spirit, and how we can have that, or I don't believe we can have that until we have that before the Lord. Yeah. You've got to submit to Him first.
Mm-hmm.
And then to have an unselfish agenda. And you know the subtlety of this? We can have a selfish agenda when we are planning too much to do for the glory of God. We're on a timeline, and pretty soon it's our agenda, and I'm trying to work my agenda in with your agenda, and so enough said. We need to then move slow enough that we can hear for the other person.
In 1 Thessalonians 5:15, don't give evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue good, both to yourselves and others, is our scripture verse for that.
Okay. Now this one, wow, is not easily provoked. Now, what negatives have you got for being provoked, Sharon?
Irritable.
Okay.
Sharp, annoyed, quick-tempered, easily ruffled. Oh, sarcastic. Wow. Sarcasm, throwing a temper tantrum.
How about cutting words?
Oh, yeah.
You know what words, we say, sticks and stones will never break my bones. But that's the other way. You know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. That's a lie, because we can have cutting words that create a wounded spirit that can go on for years. And we're hypersensitive. Even when somebody's trying to say something nice to us, we're inferior, so we're always taking it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
This is the person who never really learns to say thank you. When somebody says something nice, they start trying to explain it away.
Okay.
So a spirit that is not provoked has a calm disposition, is peaceful, is subdued, is meek, and warm. And I didn't even put this verse down here when I was putting some verses together, but Psalms 106 has to be read, because this is the chapter. We don't have time to do it today, so we'll just have it
you
on
said
our
it has
notes.
To be read. I was like, I gotta go to the scripture.
No, I mean, if you want to see a provoked spirit and the consequences, and even when God is provoked, the consequences. It's all hidden in the story of Moses in chapter Psalms 106.
Okay.
So we will put that into our note fields, because the people sinned and it angered God, and so Moses was provoked. It's a beautiful story to see how we act together. But we have
Janie,
are we at the end of the?
I think we're going to have to start again next week.
Well, then I tell you what, let's give some people some encouragement. We will finish this next week. And since we're going into the Christmas season, when we're in 1 Corinthians 13 and it ends with there's three things that we need to pursue. And the greatest of these is love. And then the first says pursue love. So let me just close this with a closing prayer, and we will pursue the gifts, all right?
Okay.
Father, I need you to stop the sun again so that we will have time to share the goodness of you. But until then, let our words be few, but the message be mighty. And we love you and we thank you for your agape love and the way we can see it in you and want to see it in us. Thank you and praise you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for joining us today for some challenging conversation. This is Sharon Hoskins along with Janie Ratzliff saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for being part of the listener-supported broadcast of Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. Join the conversation anytime and find Bible study resources at sharonhearts.org. That's Sharon, Sharin, hearts, HEARTS.org.